Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum. Celebrate the opening of I Saw It, Francisco de Goya Printmaker, with an evening of live music, art making, live model drawing, tours, and more. Saturday, April 20th from 4 to 6:30 p.m. Info at nortonsimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
So good to have you with us this morning on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Just to share with you, in case you just joined us, once again, the state of California announcing that LA and Orange counties, effective tomorrow, will move into the less restrictive orange tier of COVID-19. That means that business capacity can be loosened for a number of stores and restaurants, reopening of bars for outdoor service. We'll actually see what's going to happen with Los Angeles County, because even though the state makes this designation, the county can choose to kind of slow roll that or immediately say, yes, we're going to align with the protocols that are allowed under the orange level. So we'll wait and see what the counties themselves say. But at least from the state of California's perspective, both LA and Orange counties tomorrow move into the orange tier. Right now, we focus on California state politics, where it appears more likely that Governor Newsom will be facing a recall election later this year, that based on the number of signatures turned in by recall organizers. With us to talk about it is Kappa Public Radio reporter covering politics and government, Nicole Nixon. Nicole, great to have you with us this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It seems Democrats have a bit of a difficult position here. They are portraying the recall as a partisan effort by Republicans to try and get rid of the governor. We have Republican candidates who've already announced they intend to run in a recall election. But for Democrats, this is kind of fraught, because do they put someone up in case the governor is recalled and not risk losing it to a Republican? Or do they stand firmly behind the governor and to stay on his good side and assume he will beat this back?
Right. That is the big debate, I think, happening among Democrats behind the scenes. It's not really happening out in the open. The Newsom team is trying very hard to dissuade other Democrats from jumping in the race. You might remember, if people remember the last recall, I was not in California at the time, but the then Lieutenant Governor Cruz Bustamante jumped into the race just, I think, 2 days before the filing deadline closed and surprised a lot of people. Democrats did not like it. Schwarzenegger ended up winning that recall election, and we never heard from Cruz Bustamante again. It kind of ended his political career. So Newsom's campaign people are, you know, shooting down any talk of people trying to do that, thinking about doing that, to, you know, try to stave that off and present that unified, you know, we are the Democratic Party and Newsom is our candidate on this recall election ballot, to keep that.
It's a real challenge here, and particularly if, knock on wood, we continue to see progress against COVID-19, if there are more and more business reopenings, all of this would seem to accrue, at least in part, to the governor as he faces a recall election. And so if you're a Democrat thinking about it, and you're looking at, you know, more businesses open, the vaccine rollout finding its legs, and everybody ultimately who wants one being able to get one, you know, maybe you think the odds aren't very good if you're a Democrat about, you know, taking him on.
Yeah, and Newsom will definitely, you know, if this gets on the ballot, we're looking at about a mid-November election. And I think Newsom is hoping that the state will be in a much, much better position then. And that he can use that to sort of send his message to keep him in office for that extra year before he has to run again in 2022.
Also joining us is Rafe Sonnenschein, Executive Director of Cal State LA's Pat Brown Institute of Public Affairs, author of Politics in Black and White, Race and Power in Los Angeles. Rafe, my friend, good to have you back with us.
Good to be back with you, Larry.
So how do you assess this recall? And please compare and contrast with the Gray Davis successful recall.
Well, that was in 2003, and Gray Davis was enormously unpopular in a terrible situation with the electricity crisis, and there was no prospect of things getting better before the recall. And he faced perhaps the most famous person on earth as the replacement candidate. It's hard to imagine a worse set of circumstances. Basically, Newsom is probably twice as popular. When people say his popularity is down, they mean from the high point during the rally around the flag period of the virus fight. He's probably back where he was before that. It's not overwhelming, but he's around, you know, close to 50%. At the same time, when you look at recalls, it's like a tornado on a sunny day. It's completely unpredictable. It's not like a regular election. Our entire country is built around fixed election dates, and our particular system in California confuses the voters so badly that there's no politician on earth who shouldn't be terrified of a recall election.
And the portrayal by state Democrats and by the governor that this is a partisan Republican effort, that national Republicans are heavily involved in this, and certainly to some degree, if not significantly, that's true. But how much traction does that get among recall voters?
Oh, I think it's huge. I think the big difference back in 2003 is that the Republican Party was not led by Donald Trump, who's the greatest mobilizer in modern Democratic politics. And it's not just that it's being portrayed as a partisan recall. It is a partisan recall. It could succeed, but it doesn't have the support among Democrats and independents that the Davis recall had. His support was soft in all portions of the Democratic Party, and he was in a much worse position. I've always believed that to beat a recall, you make it much more about the opposition than about yourself. It's really, even though it doesn't sound like a nice way to campaign, you can't go around saying, "Don't recall me." You have to say, "Why are they trying to recall me?" And the Republican support really does play into that, and it's probably his best strategy.
Well, and Rafe, my thought was as well that for those who might not consider themselves Republicans but are, you know, business owners, people upset with him over the COVID-19 protocols and the halting early steps of the vaccine rollout and school closures in California, if those things are largely dealt with by the time of the recall election, then those people, you know, many of them presumably would not be energized to vote for recall.
We are very present-oriented voters. We look outside and we see how things are going. And there's another thing that will be different in the fall. We will be heavily into the 2022 congressional elections, the midterm races. And that is going to heighten the partisan environment in a tremendous way. And I think in this case, heightening the partisan environment is very much to the advantage of the governor. Now, that's not to say, though, that the governor can't be hurt by the general feeling that about government, which is never a positive, which is why recalls are so scary, because you're not on the ballot against an opponent. So you can never say compared to what. You basically are compared to yourself. So again, even with all those positives in the fall, again, it's still the tornado on a sunny day.
All right, Rafe Sonnenschein joining us, Executive Director of the Pat Brown Institute for Public Affairs at Cal State LA, and Nicole Nixon, a politics and government reporter for CAP Radio in Sacramento. Nicole, California is going to be receiving $42 billion as a part of the federal stimulus funding, what's called the American Rescue Plan. So how is that money expected to be allocated?
Well, we don't know for sure yet. I think we'll find out more in about a month when the governor releases his May budget revision. the state was already looking at a pretty big windfall on top of that money from the American Rescue Plan. So they've already passed some things like the Golden State Stimulus, you know, that gets $600 to low income and undocumented Californians, extra small business supports. But this amount of money can definitely give Newsom and state lawmakers the opportunity to spread that around a bit and fund some of their wish list items. So we could see more money for things like pandemic recovery. Newsom just put out a thing just a minute ago about more money for wildfire prevention. And then also his efforts to battle climate change. And he has this initiative for boosting zero emission vehicles. And he'd already asked for about $1 billion to put more infrastructure. So we could see some of this money going to things like that.
Nicole, let's also talk about the appointment of Rob Bonta to be state attorney general, taking Javier Becerra's spot. This, I assume, has been very well received by the progressive wing of the party.
Oh, yeah. Bonta is a progressive assemblyman from the East Bay. He has sort of made a name for himself running bills around criminal justice. He had one to abolish private prisons. He had one about hate crimes, which is another big issue coming up right now. The other thing is that he's the first Filipino-American lawmaker. He would be the first Filipino attorney general if he gets confirmed by the legislature. He had the API community rallying behind him and sort of lobbying Newsom to appoint him to this spot months ago. And with all of these attacks against Asian Americans that we're seeing, that I think gave him a real boost. And they definitely used that to rally behind him and get him in that spot. His appointment sort of just caps off this slate of historic appointments that Newsom has made, right? After Kamala Harris was sworn in, he appointed Alex Padilla as the first Latino senator from California, Shirley Weber, the first Black Secretary of State, and now we're going to have very likely the first Filipino Attorney General.
All right. Speaking of criminal justice, there is a highly controversial bill, SB 82, authored by Berkeley Democrat Senator Nancy Skinner, which would turn robberies under $950 that don't involve weapons or cause serious injuries into petty thefts. So even strong arm robberies where there are no injuries would be misdemeanors under this, and people typically are not serving time now in California for misdemeanors. Not surprisingly, you've got groups of people that operate mini marts and small markets and things coming out strongly against this for what it would mean for their staffs. But I'm curious about the political dynamic of this, Nicole Nixon. Does this bill have much of a chance at all given the constituencies opposed?
I think we'll definitely have to see on that, and seeing also the API community come out against this with all of these, you know, robberies and attacks again against the Asian American community. Of course, you have the bill author, Senator Nancy Skinner, saying that, well, if they're violent attacks, then they wouldn't apply. But there is also this sort of rash of new hate crimes legislation being proposed too. This is one of those interesting things that we as a state are having this conversation about the future of criminal justice and lowering sentences for certain crimes. But there's this ongoing debate. We saw it last year with Prop 20 and the cash bail reform going on about which direction the state should go on these sorts of penalties.
Well, and she said that it wouldn't involve violent, but I'm looking at the actual text of the bill, and it's about using a deadly weapon or causing great bodily injury during the robbery. So less than great bodily injury would, so I guess she's saying that it's not violent unless it causes great bodily injury, I guess. Mm-hmm. But you know, the other fact you mentioning about the people that have come out against it for Asian Americans specifically, many of the mini markets and small grocers and all are Asian American owned in California. So it's also separate and apart from the hate crimes committed against Asian Americans generally, not surprising that that small business constituency would also be concerned.
Right. And it's sort of a double whammy for them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Rafe, your thoughts on the bill and its prospects?
Well, I don't see its prospects very positive. I see its prospects, however, appearing in the national political conversation overnight to be very high. This will probably get floated around as not a proposal, but as an actual law in California. And I think we'll turn up in some way, even in the recall campaign. I think it's problematic. I think a lot of people think that robbery itself is a violent act, person to person. I would be surprised if this was implemented, but I think it'll get a lot of play regardless of whether it is implemented.
Also, Nicole, I was wondering, speaking about hate crime legislation, do we have several bills under consideration in Sacramento to deal with that?
Yeah, there is a bill that would set up a statewide hotline for people to report. I think that would go to the Attorney General's office. There's also a bill to increase penalties for some hate crimes. All of this, of course, coming out as we see all of these attacks against Asian Americans in the Bay Area, especially. One thing I will say, we were talking about Rob Bonta when he was asked about all of this, you know, as a member of the API community, as somebody who's also supported lessening sentences for some crimes. He was asked, should hate crimes be punished with more jail time, basically, or stricter punishments? And he seemed to say not really, and that, you know, our jails are already overcrowded, he feels, and it would be a case-by-case basis, but...
Well, and that's definitely been a controversial issue here in Los Angeles County with the new district attorney, George Gascon, who initially said that they would not be prosecuting with sentencing enhancements. Originally, that included hate crimes as well, though I know he's walked that back to some extent. Nicole, thank you so much. We appreciate your reporting on us, some of the major news out of Sacramento.
Thank you.
Nicole Nixon covers politics and governments for CAP Radio in Sacramento, and Rafe Sonnenschein, executive director of the Pat Brown Institute for Public Affairs at Cal State LA. Rafe, thanks so much for joining us again.
My pleasure.
It's Air Talk on KPCC. Coming up, we will talk about what NFTs are and why are some of them worth millions of dollars, non-fungible tokens. We'll get definitions and talk about why people are in some cases spending millions of dollars for NFTs. Back in 1 minute.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.